hour number two on this Friday. Hope everybody's having a good day. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. We say hello to Richard Deitch from The Athletic. Always good to talk to him. Richard, how you doing?
Oh, there we go. Well, a little delay there. I'm good, guys. How are you?
I wanted to run this by you. We had on a really intriguing guest yesterday that we had no idea where it was going to go, but a couple of days earlier in the week, it was on Tuesday, he spoke at a luncheon here in Nashville, and, you know, everybody knows who he is, but weren't sure what you were getting, and we were blown away with our interview yesterday with Ryan Leaf. You ever done anything with him?
Yeah, I did a long time ago. I think I did a Q&A with him for Sports Illustrated. This, I mean, we're talking way back in the day, maybe late 2000s. But I've heard Leaf a number of times on radio, on television, tell his story. And, you know, it's a really compelling story given everything he went through as a top pick, comparisons to Manning, bottoming out. He may have even actually been in jail for a little bit.
Oh, he was. He was. Yeah, he told us.
And then literally almost like a second relapse. So I have no idea what he's doing now, but if he's motivational speaking and if he's got his life in order, that's really good. But he's a total, an absolute cautionary tale, a little bit of a too cliche. But you know, he's a real example of guys who could not handle a certain level of success or a certain level of professionalism. You know, not every road to leagues like is a perfect road. So if nothing else, I'm glad to see that things are better for him, because in a lot of cases, like, you know, once you go that road of rehab and everything else, it always ends bad, or it just ends.
Yeah, he did not skirt anything with us yesterday. It was pretty impressive to hear. He was here speaking. He's helping people, because he admitted to us. He said, you know, I went from being a famous athlete, the number two pick overall, to being a junkie and in prison. He's like, how many people have that story to tell? And so now he tells that story, and he's helping people who have been, you know, in jail or in prison. And he talks about how difficult it is when you get out. Everybody thinks, oh, you're free, that's great, so life is so much better. And they, you know, you don't realize that nobody wants to hire you. Nobody wants to, you just came from prison or jail. And so he talks about how difficult it is. And so he's there to help people who get out of being incarcerated and trying to help them get on with their life, because it's not about just being out. Because he's talking about how most of them all go back.
Yeah. The one thing, and again, I'm sure I'm a little different now as I've gotten older and I've got kids, but like the one thing you sort of start to realize is just how young professional athletes are. And just think of yourself at 21, 23, 24. You don't have it, especially guys. You just don't have anything figured out. And now they're thrust into, again, I'm not saying it's not a great job. Obviously it is, but a ton of pressure, a ton of responsibility, ton of money, people coming at you may or may not be able to trust. And then in many situations, and this is a total indictment of NCAA sports, you're absolutely not prepared, either academically or life skills, for all that stuff. Because too many colleges, essentially, their only job is a profit center. They're just trying to keep you eligible so you can make money for the university. So, and this is not to take any personal responsibility away from Ryan Leaf. We all make our choices. But it is worth thinking about. It's just worth thinking about that. You may think it's all glamorous to be 22, 23 with millions of dollars and this kind of fame. But for some people, they can't handle that. That to them is like the first hit of cocaine or heroin. And like, if nothing else, outside of his honesty in his own life, I'm glad to see Ryan Leaf is now at a productive place where, you know, maybe 55-year-old, 40-year-old Ryan Leaf tells something to some 16-year-old kid and it sticks.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then he passed along something that really is valuable.
Good point. I brought this up at the beginning of the show after watching the Bruins eliminate the Hurricanes last night, so they will sit and wait in the Stanley Cup Final. I then watched the Warriors come back and beat the Trail Blazers last night, and I couldn't go to sleep. It's just one of those nights. Sometimes it happens. And so I happened to be flipping through the channels, and I just caught it at the right time at the very beginning on HBO, and I just wanted to know if you've seen At the Heart of Gold. inside the USA Gymnastics scandal. Little did I know, once I started watching, there was no chance I was going to turn it off until it was over. It's sickening, but I also think it's a must-see. Have you had a chance to check it out?
Have not. Know about it, though. Erin Lee Carr directed it, and I know she spoke to so many of the young women who were assaulted, molested by Nassar. That story still today remains one of the worst black marks in the history of American sports. For so long, nobody believed that women. For so long, no news media covered it, which you know, is really an indictment of news media, until the Indianapolis Star, to their everlasting credit, did a big expose on USA Gymnastics and eventually blew that story off. And USA Gymnastics used a lot of like shady stuff to try to prevent the Indianapolis Star from getting that story. But yeah, I mean, we would need a couple of hours to debate this, but you do sort of step back and wonder, why was this story, why has there not been more of a national outrage for this? Is it because we just accept this, like, we're, you know, in a man doing it in this society? Is it gymnastics? Is it, what is it? But, like, I mean, if you think of just the sheer numbers of what Larry Nassar did, it should still be a massive or bigger story. And it has not been. But, yeah, it's on my list to check out. But
to your point, Richard, to your point.
Still to this day, I wonder why it wasn't covered more.
And by the way, you well said. To your point, you know, immediately with Jerry Sandusky, I feel like there was outrage beyond, you know, epic proportions. And why don't we have the same feelings? Larry Nassar is the devil. He is just as bad as Jerry Sandusky, and yet, to your point, I don't feel like he's been viewed the same way as Sandusky was.
He's not. Yeah, and again, I don't know if that's a football gymnastics thing. I don't know if that's a sexism, misogyny thing. I'm not proclaiming to know what it is, but it is something, and you are dead right. Just go back in your mind and think about the attention and the visceral anger you had, and correctly so, for Jerry Sandusky. The Nassar thing never matched it. And the Nassar thing's worse if you're talking about in sheer numbers. Obviously, both are horrific. You know, to me, I'd have no problems, you know, never seeing Nassar and Sandusky walk the face of the earth again. But there is a difference between sort of how people processed each of those. And, you know, and I'm not sure why. You know, I'm sure there are smarter people than me who might be able to figure that out. But, you know, it's good that these stories are being told. And I do think, at least from reading a lot about it, it does seem to be pretty cathartic for the women who went through it to be able to talk about it, to share those stories, and to nothing else, to put gymnastics, you know, sort of on trial. Like, I do think, and again, I don't have evidence of this, but I do think that the more attention on this, the more it will help to ensure that academies all over the country, like, this stuff is not going to happen again.
Yeah, the cathartic part does come through in the piece, and the thing that comes to mind as you talk about both of these horrible stories is the importance of journalism, right? It came to light because somebody was doing the investigation and put it out there, and that's where it all stemmed from. Had that not happened, who knows where we'd be.
You're right. And by the way, the other thing, and again, I'm not trying to be holier than thou here, because we all got to make decisions in the moment, but think about how many people at Michigan State and the sort of USA Gymnastics and other places enabled and looked the other way on Nassar when they should have either done their due diligence to report, or more horrifically, did not believe the young women who were telling them stuff. This stuff, and this is the same with Sandusky, and this gets back to Paterno, this cannot happen without institutions or the sort of the institutional framework enabling and looking the other way. So there is no, I mean, you know, if I'm talking to obviously a station in Tennessee, so I'm not going to have Penn State people yell at me, but there's no Sandusky without Joe Paterno. And there's no Larry Nassar without Michigan State and USA Gymnastics.
Right, that becomes very evident in the piece.
Shame of the, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's just another shame of the story, are the adults who really did not step up for those kids.
Yeah, it's a good documentary for sure. On another note, Richard, you just wrote about this in light of the lottery the other day, and Zion Williamson getting picked or getting you know, now it looks like he will be on collision course with New Orleans. But you did some measurables on just what kind of TV draw he would be and how the NBA would react, presuming he plays for the Pelicans next year.
Yeah, well, first of all, I would like to thank the gods of karma for not delivering Zion to the Knicks. Because James Dolan does not deserve anything good in our life. So that was good. I was very excited about that. I was actually personally rooting for the Sixers, because that would have been just total chaos if the Philadelphia 76ers with 1% got Zion. we just would have been so awesome. It's interesting. Like, the measurables, like, when it comes to Zion, are interesting in that if you see what Duke did this year, and again, I understand it's not just Zion and Duke, it's a famous program, et cetera, but the numbers for Duke were so extraordinary this year. Like you know, double-digit percentages up on ESPN, NCAA tournament, everywhere else, that he projects, obviously, to be someone of significant interest. Now, obviously, all the basketball people will tell you best prospect since LeBron, most anticipated prospect since LeBron. So in the in talking to people from the marketing world and stuff, they all said, obviously, had he gone to New York or Chicago, like an exponential game changer for the NBA, particularly that those early doubleheader games on the East Coast, you know, those teams would have been must watch. But he'll make New Orleans into like a semi-national team. And if Anthony Davis stays, or if they make a deal for Anthony Davis and get back significant assets, you're going to see New Orleans, you know, this again, assuming Zion is a star, you're going to see New Orleans in the next couple of years pop into one of those teams that gets like 30 national appearances the same way the Celtics, the Sixers, the Lakers do. So it does hurt them a little bit, measurably, that he went to a smaller market, smaller city, but his star should still be great if he delivers on the court.
Last thing for you, Richard. Way back in the beginning days, let's just say 5 or 6 years, maybe 6 to 8 years after the Predators had gotten here, they started to have some good teams. They weren't drawing like you would think, and the Canadian media used to really get on Nashville, like, hey, you guys have this really good team. How are you not selling out every contest? Or, you know, what's going on down there? And we would all look back and go, well, you know, it's not the – It's a process here. You know, it's not a sport everybody here has grown up with. So I'm curious the evolution of basketball in Toronto, because now the Raptors are a pretty big deal. And everywhere I look, there's more and more Canadian basketball players that are coming into the States and being excellent college players, turning into excellent pro players. I mean, Jamal Murray being an example, who played at Kentucky and now is starring for the Nuggets. So how do you think the basketball just being received in Canada is, as opposed to even like 10 years ago?
Yeah, listen, your parallel is perfect. It is a growth process, just like in Nashville, obviously, a football town. It's going to take time for these other sports to grow. So, you know, Canada, the sport of Canada is still hockey. That's not going to change. It's ingrained. You know, has to do with the weather and all that stuff as well. But over the last 10 years, two things that you've seen dramatically. One, the development of Canada basketball as an entity, and that's why you're seeing the Jamal Murray's, RJ Barrett, you're going to see a whole mess of young Canadians in the NBA. And that kind of star just sort of like builds upon itself. That means younger kids see Canadian stars. They want to go out and play basketball. Great athletes in this country decide to play basketball, let's say, as opposed to hockey. So that's part one. Part two, the Raptors over the last 5 years have been really good. So attendance has been awesome at Scotiabank Arena, and that's grown. And the viewership numbers have grown, not dramatically, by the way. I would sort of say more incrementally. But this playoff, the numbers throughout Canada have been amazing. The Kawhi Leonard game peaked at 3.5 million viewers in Canada. Keep in mind, it's not the U.S. It's 33 million people in this country. So, you know, 10th of the country essentially was watching, or 9th of the country was watching that game, which is massive. So this Raptors run will really, really help, I think, in terms of building basketball. But the only reason why I'd say it's a little tenuous, at least on the viewership side, is if Kawhi Leonard does leave and it goes to the Clippers, the Raptors are going to take a step back, and you might not see the heights of the television ratings that you did for this playoffs. But make no mistake, Canada basketball is at a different place now. And I would also say watch the next two Olympics. If you look at the rosters of Canadians in the NBA, you mentioned Jamal Murray, who's awesome. RJ Barrett's coming. They're going to be a pretty good international power.
Where were you for the shot, the Kawhi Leonard shot?
I was watching it at my house. I actually almost went to that game. I'm glad I didn't because I got to see it. But I was watching it at my house with my wife, and I think I blurted out, I cannot effing believe what I just saw. But yeah, and the great part about that is it's not just the game winner, which we've seen, obviously. It was the suspended animation of the four bounces. That just can't be duplicated. And I think, fair to say, honestly, the biggest moment in the history of basketball in Canada was Kawhi's shot. I think that's a fair statement to say.
Interesting stuff. As always, Richard, appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Thanks for doing this.
You got it. See you guys.
Richard Deitch from The Athletic. That's where you can find his work. We'll come back, shift gears, talk a little bit about the Titans. Ticket prices are out for this upcoming season. We'll discuss that on the other side. Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game.